Hello.
What? I don't know. People were saying hello. I wanted to join in the fun.
Wait, then what's that playing? Is that...
It's a commercial for Waves and Eagles.
And Cleese.
Live.
We're live.
What? Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 273?
Three?
Four?
Three, I think.
I can't see over Toothless. Episode 273 of Crippled System.
I'm worn out.
And I'm Dave.
Oh, my God. I'm Nathan.
I'm Dan.
Are you nameless?
He's worn out.
I'm worn out today. That's fine. So, yeah.
Only one of us had to drive up to the south side of Chicago and back.
Why did you have to drive to the south side of Chicago?
These things and stuff and blind people and terrible lives. And
I mean, I'll hate that for you. I mean, I absolutely loathe driving through Chicago.
Luckily, I get to skirt the actual city itself for the most part.
I'm just happy that most of the time I have any reason to go to Chicago, I can like stop at O'Hare.
Yeah, no, this is past that. This is down to the you're almost in the Indiana part of Chicago.
that's pretty. So it's a nice 2.5 hour.
It's over 3 hours from here to where I had to go to. It's okay. I get to round trip it again this Friday.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, good times. On the bright side, while I was there, I got to dig through attics and stuff to find expired medication and foods. Found some a can of pineapple that rattled.
Well, didn't you find a jar of mayonnaise?
That was Hellman's peanut butter.
Hellman's peanut butter?
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out when you let mayonnaise go 5 years past the expiration date, it turns brown and thick. Yeah, so that was Hellman's brand peanut butter, still unopened.
I'm assuming it's still unopened in whatever hazmat bag you put it in.
Yeah.
I am afraid of that smell.
Oh, yeah. No. There was no opening that jar. That shit stayed shut. Would have been a hell of a prank. Just replace the label.
I don't know if that's a prank anymore.
It is attempted murder probably at that point.
Like, that's against the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
Like, that shit got sealed in the 80s for a reason.
Yes.
I mean, Saddam Hussein had jars of peanut butter just strewing about the desert.
Yeah, Hellman's peanut butter. The real weapon of mass destruction. Weapon of mayonnaise destruction.
Andy.
Hello, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I'm now not as hungry. Well, unfortunately, I went to Taco Bell.
That's never unfortunately.
Well, I went to the wrong Taco Bell because our Taco Bell suddenly decided that they're going to switch over to the self-ordering line or the touch screens.
I think it's a choice. I think you can still go up to the counter. They just are annoyed at you then.
They're just never at the counter. That's the problem with our Taco Bell is that they never... It's like you have the choice of going ordering in person, but no, they're never in person.
But I love the touch screen because you can go and be completely obsessive and like take stuff off of your Taco Bell items and add new stuff.
And then never and talk
nobody
to people.
And nobody will glare at you when you're sitting there. It's like, no, I don't want the rice. Instead of the rice, I want the shredded chicken and extra jalapenos. and you can punch all of this in, and it shows up on a screen for them, and
That's
nobody
weird
has to look
doing
at
your
you.
Cinnamon twists.
I mean,
yeah, but it's so good.
Yes. Mistake one is you had cinnamon twists.
How dare you, sir?
Why?
Yeah, wait.
Those are fighting words.
Yeah. No, actually, I mean, that just means there's more people for me to give them to every time I order that box.
I mean, I am on keto, and the cinnamon twist is one of the things I miss because they're like, actually, they're probably not that bad for you because they're like nothing but air.
Correct. And cinnamon.
Yeah.
Just eat cinnamon sugar by the spoonful.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange, but I mean, it's like the Taco Bell has managed to make packing peanuts and cinnamon tasty.
So the one thing though, I want for those stupid touch screens, is I want the touch screen that's behind the counter, that they seem to be able to work like magic.
Right.
Because the touch screens out in the lobby, those are just like they're horrible.
Well, I mean, the ones out in the touchscreen have this UI design that everything has to be big and chunky so that somebody that is 70 can use it.
Also, the ones behind the counter are more efficient because they know what to use. It's basically like saying typing individual letters is too difficult, so you should replace all keyboards with stenographer keyboards. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of training required to be able to use a stenographer keyboard. No. And I'm not saying your average Taco Bell cashier is as highly trained as a stenographer, but it's a similar concept.
Yeah.
I just know if I go to the counter and order my double quarter pounder with no
at Taco Bell,
you're gonna have trouble at Taco Bell.
I'm using it as an example for ordering through the touchscreen and ordering through the person. If I go to McDonald's and I order my double quarter pounder with just no slivered onions, if I go through the stupid machine, it takes me fucking forever to do it because I gotta go and customize my burger and hit the minus sign on the slivered onions a bunch of times because it's like regular and then low and then none.
Sure.
But
and then if I go through the drive-through, it's like 2 seconds.
Although sometimes you're at the drive-through and you say it and then you see it like appear, like yes for no onions and then no pickles shows up, then it disappears, then your whole meal goes away, then your meal shows up, then it says no pickles again, then it says no onions, then they add the onions back on, and then they go, wait, hold on a second, and then everything goes away, and then a different meal comes up.
And then a different voice comes on.
Because the edible is kicked in.
Yes. Well,
I love being able to customize my fast food and not be glared at by humans.
I also discovered this week while using one of those at McDonald's that there is a bacon Big Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Actually really good.
They had like free bacon on a bunch of stuff when they first rolled that out. Also, big surprise that the artificial intelligence guy is in favor of the automated systems instead of people at the counter.
I mean, I'm also in favor of that. Because, you know, now that I'm back in frontline development, fuck users.
Well, I mean, this is basically the end state of AI is that you never have to talk to a human again. It's just kind of like Sweden.
Yeah. Just Sweden, you never have to talk to a human?
That's Finland.
Well, I mean, okay, so Sweden and Finland. I've never been to Finland, but Sweden seems to be set up around humans never having to talk to other humans.
Well, in Finland, they talk a lot in their saunas.
Correct, because that's the only time they're more than like 15 feet away from each other.
If by talk you mean present genitals, that's the point of saunas.
Yeah.
And then you jump into the Arctic fjords and your genitals shrivel up and then you go back into the sauna.
That was yesterday when we jumped into the Arctic fjords.
Oh, it's great. I got to throw snow at Raylene. I got like a little pinch, like I was just scraping it off the edge of the window, like the rubber gasket. I just got like a tiny bit of snow, just threw it over the top of the car and hit her in the face. It was wonderful.
Then you left her in Chicago.
Yeah.
My wife was extra upset about that because she had been in Texas last week, so it was 80 degrees. 80 degrees getting off the plane into this.
Yeah, we got no accumulation, but it was just a lot of freaking snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good times.
Can you imagine if it was normally...
Can you imagine if that appeared randomly just at the perfect time for you to have to drive 3 hours to the south side of Chicago? Because I can. I can imagine that.
I'm pretty sure you more than imagined.
And then having to load up a car for 3 trips to Goodwill in that.
Yeah, we had an event yesterday that we ran. We ran the miners event for Gil Ball.
Oh, you just make like kids play?
Yep, miners. Miners, not miners!
Oh.
I mean,
and I think part of that, part of the weather probably affected people's ability to come out.
Yeah.
Did you play in that, Dan? I did.
Well, was it the weather or how many, or what is the overlap of people that would have attended that but were going to watch Endgame instead?
We lost two from that.
No.
Mm-hmm. You lost me to Endgame first. You lost me 3 times. Once because I was seeing Endgame at 9. Mm-hmm. Second time because after Endgame I was driving to Chicago. And third because I don't play that game.
You seem remotely interested on Tuesday.
Well, I hear that there's distribution issues and also that all of the models snap at the ankle.
It's my favorite.
What, my snapping favorite. At the ankle?
Huh?
Snapping at the ankle?
Everything snaps at the ankle.
All of the models have human hair thick ankles as their only point of contact to their base.
So is that Andy's favorite thing?
Mm-hmm, big fan. Something that's too small and fragile for even Andy to pin.
I can pin it. It just looks like shit.
Yeah.
I mean, and I pin everything. A lot of things, though. I mean, if anything, you go out and look at one of Privateer's models, I think my accomplishment where I can pin and have.
I mean, you pinned all of Morton Ebber too.
Morton Ebber too, but I mean Morton Ebber one. Her arms going out, I pinned those.
Yeah.
The models like Fuse for the Miners Guild and Yukai for the Fisherman Guild.
Hey, Yukai. You're welcome.
God damn it, Nathan.
So going to use that from now on.
That was amazing. God damn it.
You're welcome.
I didn't realize Rob Liefeld had extended into modeling.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, though, the guys who do the sculpting for Guild Ball, they're really good sculptors. They're really pretty looking stuff.
They just don't think about the functionality of that being the only point of support.
I mean, I think they haven't fully figured out what they need to change on the models now that they're shifting from metal to resin.
We even then with the metals, they had a ton of models that are sitting on their tippy toes.
Sure, but you also have the slot base providing extra strength.
Kind of. I should show you Vet Hemlock.
I mean, it can't be worse than Vet Minx.
Yep. It's pretty much, yeah.
I was building Vet Minx last night, and I'm like, there's no way she's going on a resin base. I'm just going to build up the base.
And that's a new model, too. Mm-hmm. That's fairly recent model.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, fuck. Sculpt your goddamn miniatures with the material in mind.
Well, that, and I almost wonder if they sculpt it double scale and scale it down in production.
Oh, I bet you. I bet you that's probably the case. I mean,
they don't do it digitally.
They do it digitally.
But like I said, I'm wondering if when they're proofing and stuff, they like do their 3D prints like double scale or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they're tiny ankles all over the place and stuff.
I mean, who cares if Yukai's got like his pants go all the way down past his ankle? I mean, or give him a boot or something thicker.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. Or put him in a 3-point stance or have him leaning on a harpoon if he's from the Fisherman's Guild, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Like
something. It's extremely frustrating. And
just decide that heroic scale applies to heads, weapons, and boots.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Everything. Just make it. Who cares if his
leg can have looks the biggest
little,
angle?
Yeah, just make it a little thicker. Just a little thicker. That's all that matters. I mean, it, sure, robotics look awesome on the miners, but, I mean, Fuse, every single Fuse that I have seen, if I'm talking about the model, the character,
sure,
has been broken. Every single one. Well, hold on. I lied a little bit because I made one, and he's on basically almost like a Faraday cage around him where you can't touch Fuse, but you can touch everything else around him. And I shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you spent two rounds building a lamppost so you can touch them.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to do that to play with the model. And the alternate model that's for the event that we went to yesterday is a Salvo, plays for the engineers. His character is half robotics, and all of his legs are just incredibly thin, too. It doesn't make any sense. It's so frustrating, especially when they're switching everything over to resin, because then we're just going to run into this issue for all their sculpts coming from now on.
Yeah,
we'll just submerge everyone half in resin. Make we're going to play water polo.
Yeah,
just put everybody in ice
ball
and everybody in ice blocks.
Yeah.
No, you could put them all. Oh my god, this is a horrible reference. Do you remember Caveman? Nathan, do you remember Caveman?
I mean, I know the concept of cavemen.
No, the movie Caveman with Ringo Starr and Dennis Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Dennis Quaid was stuck at the waist down and he was trying to escape the Wampa or escape the Yeti?
Yeah.
That's how we should put all the Guild Ball.
Nice. I'm sure that works. Again, that's Ringo a reference Starr, Caveman. Oh, my Lord.
That is a reference that nobody's going to get. But, man, that fucking music from that, it's in my head now. I can't get it out.
Well, you know, Ringo Starr always responsible for the best music. It's funny because he's everybody's least favorite Beatle.
Yeah, he's merely a good songwriter.
Yes. Well,
did he actually get credit for writing anything, or has it always been?
No, there are several Ringo-written songs. Octopus's Garden would be the most well-known of his written songs.
I'd say the second half of the Beatle albums, he had one per album at least.
Yeah. Usually it would be the weird stuff like Octopus's Garden.
I don't know that one. What? I'm not a Beatles fan. I never really glance in their catalogs. I only know the, like, ask me what what album certain songs from Led Zeppelin are on. I don't know.
Fair. Fair.
That's because you don't have, no one has time before the heat, death, and the universe to listen to an entire Led Zeppelin album.
Correct.
I kind of almost agree with Jim, but I like them a little bit more than Jim. But Jim's opinion is that they start off really awesome and then they suck.
Every one of their songs, you should just listen for 2.5 minutes and then stop.
Yeah. Like I said, that's why Greta Van Fleet is so good. It is all the good parts of Led Zeppelin, but with track times that make sense. But anyways, no, the event was good. I played 3 rounds before I had to go. So I got to play against Fishermen, Butchers, and what were we playing in? Morticians?
I was playing the Morticians.
How many rounds was the event?
It was more of a casual bring and play.
Oh, gotcha.
So basically everyone got 3 or 4
games. I think everyone got... Did some people stick around for a fourth? Or?
No, I think yours and I's was the last. But yeah, no. It was fun. I spent 2 rounds building a fuse. It looks awesome.
Sure.
But
we also had an odd number the first 2 rounds before Sean had to leave, so yeah. It worked out. But no, we had 7 people turn out plus Andy, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what was it?
Well, that's not an odd number then.
Well, it was
7 with Andy.
7 with Andy.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. We had a couple guys who didn't know that didn't start at 10 and they came at 12.
Wah, wah.
Well, one guy came at 12, and the other guy came at 1. So
double wah, wah.
Yeah.
But it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty solid. Do we have any announcements?
I believe Endgame has made over $1 billion already.
1.2.
Okay.
Already?
Yeah.
So 3 days.
By the end of the weekend. Like, somebody said they heard it would do by the end of the weekend. At work, somebody said that. I'm like, no, not by the end of the weekend. They were right. Yeah. Beat $1 billion in less than its opening weekend.
What was it? The previous record was 11 days, yes. And they're at 3?
Yes.
And change. Uh-huh. The fourth day is when it broke it. But fewer than 72 hours.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
I've been pretty happy with about my Facebook feed. It's not spoiled anything from the film.
I saw one fake spoiler post, and I went into the post to call the guy a worthless piece of shit. And then in the post, we already yelled at him. He's like, don't worry, it's a joke. But the problem with doing that shit is, number one, it's not funny. It never is funny. Number two, now I know that's a fake spoiler, which means it doesn't happen, and that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, the only time you can come close is, like, I saw one that was like, you know, I can't believe Harry Potter kills the Night King in Endgame. It's like, okay, sure. But once you're just like, oh, my goodness, blurb, 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 it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, I saw one Thursday at about 5, and I'm like, oh, so since I knew that I was not going to see it before the embargo drops, I'm just like, okay, fine, I'm going to go look up Wikipedia to see how much I have to yell at you.
Wikipedia? Yeah.
Wikipedia. Wrong. Last week was Wikipedia. This week is Wikipedia.
Sure.
So anyways, I looked it up. I'm like, all right, that was completely accurate. You're a dick.
Yeah. We should mention, too, is that we're not going to spoil
bullshit.
Anything for Avengers today. During this broadcast, we will record a separate audio cast of Dan can leave and...
Okay.
And we'll talk about Avengers.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Crippled System, episode 274.
Agreed.
Not yet.
I have nothing more to talk about before we talk about Avengers Endgames. Like, I disagree. I would just say spoilers for the rest of the episode.
Spoilers.
I wanted to record a separate spoilers. Episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hit the button.
Are we done with this episode yet then?
Hit the button.
We can at least talk about our slight opinions on it.
Okay, go see the movie and then tune in to episode 274.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I would recommend that you go see the movie and then tune into episode 274.
What? Damn it. I'm trying to. Do we have any other announcements? There's MuseonCon.
Oh.
Well, yeah. There we go.
When's that?
You might be the only person who is going to be able to make it to MuseonCon, so.
Yeah, in theory I could make it, but maybe not. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's Memorial Day weekend?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to find someone to drive because I hate driving through Iowa because it's Iowa.
You only have to drive like 2 hours in Iowa.
No, it's like 4 hours in Iowa.
Is it 4 or 5?
Yeah, it's the west side of Des Moines.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, yeah, I forget it's 6 hours.
It's not like Cedar Rapids or whatever. It's the further Iowa.
Yeah. Well, Cedar Rapids is only an hour in. I mean,
yeah, and then you go another 3 fucking hours, and the scenery doesn't change, and you make one turn between Cedar Rapids and Des Moines.
Yeah,
well, I got somebody giving me a ride, so I'm good.
I used to live in Iowa, and I just don't have much reason to go back.
I've added a lot of hot sauce to my burrito. That's also a euphemism.
No,
I mean, you can do what you want to your burrito, but like you're on packet 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, I still love that place that place where we went to a team tournament at, that next to it had a pizza place that the sign out front just said pizza.
Sure. I mean,
that's Iowa in a nutshell.
It's true. Pizza.
Yeah. I work at pizza.
Oddly enough, it was a Mexican restaurant. They just call it pizza.
Call it pizza. P-I-T-Z-A?
Pizza? Pizza. Oh, if you, that would be like, that's like half pita, half pizza. Like if you made gyros, but you wrapped a pizza around them instead of just normal pita bread.
I mean, I think that's actually called fat, but it sounds delicious.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like the frozen pizza taco where you just take a frozen pizza and fold it in half.
Ooh, announcements. The Mod Pizza by the Westtown Mall is open.
There goes my lunches.
Yep. Uh-huh. And, Brian was their first customer. They took his picture and gave him some coupons and stuff.
Cool.
That bastard didn't get in touch with me.
I think he was camped out there for like a week waiting for them to open.
So is this also a suggestion to go to Mod Pizza? Because I've never actually been there.
Yeah, you should definitely go to Mod Pizza.
I am not familiar with the concept. Explain more.
So do you like brick oven pizza?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you walk into Mod Pizza. They have, think like the Subway toppings thing, but with twice as many options.
Okay.
And you go, I want that with that kind of sauce, double that, and this drizzle on top. And they just brick oven pizza, and it's flat price. It's an 11-inch pizza for $7.95 or whatever.
Sure. And it's like the 90-second cook style ones. Okay.
And flat price. There's no per-topping thing. Okay. And it is delicious and fresh and wonderful. If you like brick oven pizza, you should always you should go to Mod forever.
I'll have to try it.
My only fear of it is since it's right next to a memorial.
Mineral Point?
Whatever the high school is there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think there's one on the east side already.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, it's very convenient for me for work, but I already have to deal with shanking high schoolers no matter where I go for food, so.
There's that one. There's the one on Fish Hatch by the Great Dane, and then there's one on the east side.
I'll just wait a month until school's out, and then it's much easier to get it.
Yes.
And plus, then by then, the, oh my God, it's a new restaurant thing will have faded.
Sure.
I see. You'll have to get on my level and upgrade from having to try to avoid shanking high schoolers to having to try to avoid shanking undergrads who are like high schoolers,
they pay
except
you.
They're drunk all the time.
Sure, but they also give you money.
They also, they
like they provide some service for you. The high schoolers just try and hit me with their cars.
I mean, some of us thinks it's an advantage to have lots of high schoolers around, but let's not discuss that any further. But they have a lot of like topping choices that are nice. Like they have like full roasted garlic cloves.
What, high schoolers?
And stuff like that. I mean, the good ones do. Give me that full roasted garlic clove. That's what I love about roasted garlic cloves.
Damn,
I keep
Nathan.
Getting
they're
older, but
they
stay
the
same
age.
God damn it, the court said no.
They said nothing about roasted garlic cloves. If you call something by another term, it's okay. That's why there's a difference between...
I'm now confused what Andy is writing down.
If we'll call... Oh, yeah, he's just writing down if you call something by another word, it's okay. Which is the title of this episode that's now over. So Avengers Endgame spoilers.
Okay, come on, just show up this
game. We could talk about Game of Thrones last week.
Okay, we don't want that to be a separate episode, too?
No.
I'm unclear on what becomes separate episodes.
Because, we can talk about Game of Thrones, but I'm going to protest because that means I'm going to have to mention that I don't watch Game of Thrones, and I'm not one of those people that considers that a personality element.
It's okay to not watch things.
Yeah.
It's not okay to brag about that as if it's a personality trait to be proud of.
It does not make me better. It means I'm bad at organizing my life.
Yeah. Or maybe it just doesn't interest you.
But no, like, for this one, it says I'm bad at organizing my life.
Well, for Game of Thrones or for MCU?
Both.
Both, sure.
But you don't watch Game of Thrones either?
I just haven't had time. By the way, you have all the seasons on disc, right?
Pretty much.
I need to start borrowing them from you.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that's fine, because you're not just like, I never watched it.
Just why'd you go Harkonnen on that?
Farts. Because that's what these fuckers are like. Yeah. I never watched Star Wars. Okay.
I mean, but
go die. I don't care.
No, but they milk the cat.
Yeah. In Star Wars?
What do you think? That's,
those
that's
are
the blue milk.
That's it.
Yeah, the blue milk. That thing was, that was a weird looking cat.
Oh.
I mean,
That out of all the sequences that was in The Last Jedi, that was the one that just definitely did
milk
not
the giraffe
need to be
elephant.
There. Yeah,
I mean, I actually thought it was hilarious.
It was funny, but I mean, I
get why people hated that scene, but I thought that whole first part on the temple planet was amazing.
Yeah. The point is, your reaction to all that shit is the same reaction Rey is having, and that's the point. You're like, Luke fucking Skywalker's milking an elephant monster and just, what the hell's going on? And that's what she's saying too.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is because I've been so deep into Star Wars lore that actually having it subverted that much was enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
As opposed to some people who, if you're a more casual fan, you're like, why didn't you do that? Like, because I've read 50 fucking books where they follow the trope.
Yes. Like, that part I was cool with it. The, everything that was terrible I was less cool with.
I mean, yeah, so we just cut out all of Canto Blight and...
Yep, yeah. All of Canto Blight and like, random STS or AT-ST being piloted by IG-88. Like,
by IG-88?
Not IG-88, BB-8.
That'd be amazing if IG-88.
I'm cool with IG-88. If IG-88 showed up, I'm wonderful.
Like I said, I don't even mind the
BB... What the fuck?
Sure, I mean, that one at least is just in the tradition of R2 from the prequels.
Which was terrible.
Sure.
It took the worst thing about the prequels and made it worse.
I mean, that's... factually
untrue. At least it didn't have a factory with C-3PO stumbling through it.
Correct. Also, BB-8 did not die from love.
And
it did not speak in blackface.
That's also true.
Wait, what?
You don't know that.
Who spoke in blackface?
Jar Jar.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
But hold on, Ahmed Best...
Sure, but he didn't write the dialogue, and yeah.
Okay.
We won't go down that thing, but we will talk about the Trade Federation talking in Chinaman talk.
Yeah, and they were, yeah. I mean, Ahmed Best is at least, I mean, that was him. That was his voice, that was his characterization.
The best edit of Phantom Menace I've ever seen, all it did is they took Jar Jar and the Trade Federation and scrambled their voices and gave them subtitles that made sense, and then cut out about 30 seconds of midichlorian talk, and it was a beautiful movie.
Sure.
Have you seen the documentary about Ahmed Best and talk about how much...
Yeah, like, it's not his fault.
No, but it's actually a really, really good documentary.
Fucking Jake Lloyd. Poor Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yippee.
That poor kid.
If I was him, I'd be wearing a t-shirt that just said yippee.
He got to be Anakin Skywalker. What a dream. But it's like one of those genie dream wishes where you're like, I want to play Anakin Skywalker. It's like, you're fucked, kid.
Monkey paw it is.
Yes. Yep. That is a monkey paw straight up the ass.
I mean, I guess, well, it depends. How much residuals does he get?
Not enough to pay for his therapy.
I don't know.
And he was a child actor. Normally, child actor contracts are garbage.
True. Well, it probably just depends.
Parents get a decent.
Hayden Christensen's okay with it. You know what I mean? Or what's-his-face from Twilight is cool with the Twilight hate.
Robert Pattinson?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's because he's also proven that he is like a decent actor in other movies.
Sure.
So he's starting to get out of that. But like almost everyone else from that movie.
Yeah. But he at least can do like the Michael Caine thing where he says, I've never seen Jaws 4, and by all accounts, it's a terrible movie, but I have seen the mansion it built, and it's beautiful. You know, he can do that. But that poor kid.
Jaws 4, the revenge. How do you get a boat to stab a shark?
How do you have a shark that wants to seek revenge on the wife of the man who killed it? And this shark teleports to a different... continent to chase them,
yeah,
because they fly to like Costa Rica and the shark's waiting for them. Also, it roars.
It does. I still every time I hear that high pitched whine of the charge up on it when the you know the pressing it to cause it pain. Yeah.
The sad thing is this description makes me want to see this.
You should.
No, I don't want to see Jaws 4. I want to see your guys' version of Jaws 4.
Sure, like if we just sweet it. We can Swede Jaws 4.
Swede Jaws 4? I'm not sure what you mean.
Swede.
Swede.
Swede. S-W-E-D-E?
Yeah.
You know, sweet as a verb?
No.
It's there was the movie that sadly was not as good as I hoped it would be, but Be Kind, Rewind.
Mm-hmm.
With,
oh, yes.
Yeah, with Mos Def and Jack Black, where they accidentally erase all the movies in the... Well, yeah, so for anybody who doesn't, they accidentally erase all the movies in the rental store where they work. And
can't
so,
erase DVDs.
This was not a high-class rental store. They still had VHS. This was very ghetto. And so... To fix the problem, they just refilm all the movies with like $10 worth of props. Like, you know, if they want to do like RoboCop's one of them. And the best part of the movie was their suited version of other movies. The movie was not good overall. But
it's
yeah,
an amazing frame story.
The concept of sweeting is now beautiful. So when you see those like homemade versions of movies, they're just wonderful.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, you've made a lot of mistakes regarding Taco Bell.
I put way too much Taco Bell sauce on it, and so it's just getting everywhere.
That's okay.
I mean, I think Dan warned you about that.
I mean, congratulations, Andy. You are now fully realizing why I refer to Taco Bell as the best bad mistake you're going to make all day. Yeah.
And now you're allowing Dan to say, I told you so.
That's fine. I appreciate Dan. So.
Is this episode long enough yet?
Nope.
Son of a bitch. All right.
That's what I was talking about, Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Last week's episode, I will, and even not as in spoilers, last week's episode was probably one of my favorite episodes of the entire series.
Yeah, last week's episode was really good.
Did anybody die?
No.
Okay.
Nope,
not even. The first episode of the season had one random schmucko die, who was a nobody, who was introduced that episode and then dies that episode. The second episode has nobody die, but they're setting it up. Last week's episode was, it was an hour of characters reminding you why you'll be sad when they die. Yeah. But they did it with every single character to guarantee no matter who dies, you'll be sad, and you don't know who's going to die because they did it for everybody to cover their bases.
Okay.
To everyone.
Also, Gwendolyn Christie, amazing emoting. The facial expressions in that scene, from just pensive to raw, giddy joy at the end of the scene, just so much great acting in her face. Well done, Gwendolyn Christie.
I mean, that sequence there is basically... all of my favorite characters of Game of Thrones were all together in one scene.
Yeah, most of the good ones were there.
I mean, obviously the Hound wasn't there, but I mean, Hound had his Bronn. Thing with...
No Hound, no Bronn.
Oh, I thought they were talking about... I forgot about Bronn, but I thought you were saying Bran.
Nah, fuck Bran.
Because you're talking about emoting. I mean, he's doing really good at being emoting.
Did you see how he's so good at his creepy stare?
No.
He talked about it in an interview. No. Yeah, you read that one. Yeah, so he is blind as a bat and wears glasses in real life. So he just takes his glasses off and he can't see shit. So he just stares in a direction where there's a blur and assumes that that's Sophie Turner.
As someone who used to be that blind before LASIK, I completely get how that works.
You just like...
Yeah, because
before I had LASIK, into my soul.
I would know... You, I might be able to resolve your face. David, I would know who you are based on knowing how you dress and what your voice sounds like.
Yeah.
But I would not be able to... you would not have enough resolution for me to actually see your face. You would just be pink and suit.
This isn't a suit.
Suit jacket, whatever.
No.
I mean, seriously, 2400 is a thing. Like, that could have been a suit, and I would not be able to tell.
Yeah.
I see dark and then white.
I would love to get LASIK if I wasn't terrified of anything having to do with my eyes. Like, I would start just violently attacking everyone in the room.
That's fine. That's why they give you a really nice tranquilizer beforehand.
Do they?
Yes.
Because I know you have to be awake.
Yes, but that's why they give you the tranquilizer, so you don't twitch on the table.
So the price includes really good drugs.
Yeah, and basically, so you go in, you pay, you do one last eye exam, then you take this pill and sit in a room for 45 minutes in a dark room listening to chill music, then you go under the table for 5 minutes, and then you can see perfectly fine instantly. And then you put drops in your eyes for the next 4 weeks because it itches like fuck. But.
Okay, so let's talk about Endgame real quick. was waiting for Andy's feet to finish going up the stairs.
So let's finish the conversation we had before. So MCU time travel apparently doesn't believe in the butterfly effect.
Yes. Oh, spoilers. Oh, shit, he's coming back.
I will unplug.
Okay, come on, turn on FizzGig.
Well, we have to do Zappity Grumbles for this episode.
Zappity Grumble, were there any of them?
There was one, actually.
Okay.
What is your favorite Switch game?
Oh.
I thought we had a different one, too.
I mean, there might be more.
I don't know if it counts as, like, does something have to be Switch specific? Because, for example, stuff like that one game with the thing.
I mean,
and
I'm
the
counting
game.
Games I have played on the Switch.
Yeah, because then I get Darkest Dungeon, you get Algae Headman.
Octopath Traveler?
No, not Octopath Traveler. That one's garbage. The one with the guy with the plant for a head that I liked first.
Yeah, he liked it a year before
Dead
you
Cells.
Did. Before you
Dead were... Cells, yes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I haven't actually played that on Switch.
But it's on the Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get Breath of the Wild. Yeah. And...
I would probably say Octopath Traveler because at least I played it when it was a Switch exclusive. Although actually it is still Switch exclusive, but that only lasts for another month.
To chat, yes, everyone did see Avengers Endgame, but Andy wants to segregate it to its own episode. Why
Dan,
did an angry
no, Dan,
look?
Dan didn't sell, see it.
No, I just looked it up.
He doesn't care.
I looked it up because I wanted to participate in the conversation.
Oh. Yes. Okay. All right.
It wasn't an angry look. It was more of...
really, you just snapped around.
The taco sauce hit him.
I realized, do I have a, you know, like some people have a standing bitch face? Do I have a standing angry face?
That's just called being a dwarf.
Yes.
That was an angry face.
That was your angry face? No. Nope. You're still not there.
Nope.
Now you look like a baby with gas. Now you look like that one movie where Mandy Moore has to look like she has a secret when she's chewing her food.
Try to be like toothless when he tries to smile for the first time.
You want me to pull all your teeth out?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, for the verisimilitude of it.
Yeah, say, we weren't sure if you wanted to become a method actor.
So I'm sick of having this on my lap, so I'm going to point out, like, when something has a special event and it orders things to give to people who go to the special event and then nobody goes to the special event, they have a bunch of the thing left over, so then they just kind of give them away to people for the fuck of it.
No.
So I went to Endgame and I got a third Hellboy Funko Pop.
Poor,
they had a lot of leftover Hellboy Funko Pops.
Poor David Harbour.
So, yeah, he was good at it. But, yeah, they had a lot of leftover Hellboy Funko Pops. And so I bought one of their refill buckets of popcorn.
Yeah.
On the counters by the concession stand, every one of the refill buckets had a Hellboy Funko Pop shoved in it because that's just how they're getting rid of the extras.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. So I have a Hellboy for the table now.
Okay.
Why,
the movie
you.
Wasn't that bad, though.
It was fine.
Okay.
It was fine. That doesn't affect the fact that the theater that I went to that had an entire theater's worth of... So how many seats are in one of those theaters? You know, 100 and some, whatever. And there were 5 people there. That means they had 95 Hellboys left over.
Wah, wah,
like,
wah.
They have to do something with them.
I mean, plus if they put them in the popcorn bucket, the first popcorn, they don't actually have to put any money into.
Yeah.
Because you just bury it in popcorn and... It eats up.
Yeah. Well, no, is there empty
imagine
display?
They don't tell people. So
there's
people
eating, and there's a Hellboy there.
It's just filled with butter and salt, and
yeah, yeah, no, yeah. Brian, I already answered that. He wasn't listening. I don't think.
Yeah, he probably is not.
He popped in and asked, and then he left, and then he came back. He's busy playing Overwatch. And then to Jim, how you would subtly spoil it. The thing you miss, Brian, is that we will talk about it, but Andy wanted to segregate it to its own little mini-sode.
Yeah.
So we're apparently not talking about it this episode, but then we'll meet again and talk about it. So that'll be a thing.
I mean, we liked it. I mean, that was, at least I liked it. So.
And then how would you subtly spoil Endgame? If you don't want to spoil, but you don't want to bother seeing it, but you want to be able to talk about it, you would say that you liked how introspective the first hour was. It was very introspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would say that you thought the last hour was very exciting, but sometimes fan service-y. And then if you wanted a negative, you would say you weren't 100% on board with how they handled Captain Marvel being integrated into the story. And just riff on that for 10, 15 minutes, and people will think you saw it. Oh.
Yeah.
I will write that down.
Yeah. Just do that. I liked how introspective it was at the beginning. I enjoyed the climax, a little fan servicey, but it was good. I do wish they had integrated Captain Marvel better.
I mean, that basically lines up with a Wikipedia plot summary.
Yeah. 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 So that's how you talk about it without
like,
bothering
I'm gonna
to see
go
it.
Check to see if Rita Fan edited that.
I think somebody had originally asked us in. Damn it. I don't have it up right now. So good.
Yeah. Preparation.
Preparation is not the key here. I have to look it up on the.
What are you looking up?
No, somebody had messaged Crippled System.
Oh, yeah, here, I'll get it.
And I meant to talk about it last week, and I didn't.
I forgot about this. Where the fuck do I find it?
Oh, I forgot to get the timestamp for one of our listeners. His wife speaks several versions of Chinese, and so he wanted me to get the timestamp for the pun that I want translated. And I forgot to do so.
Shit, that was not what I wanted. That's how I message Crippled System.
Yeah, Facebook's messaging is the fucking worst.
Yes. Oh, my God, it is, because sometimes it will just forget
for
to
pages.
Tell me stuff. Of, yeah, yeah. For pages, it's terrible
this
because...
One. Andy?
Yeah.
All right.
Also, if you are trying to message me about a Conflict Chamber thing, message me directly and not the Conflict Chamber page, because Facebook just sometimes will decide to not tell me about something that was a message on the page for like a week. And then sometimes it will keep reminding me of something that I have already responded to and answered to like 5 or 6 times in a day.
Facebook pages really are the worst.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're useful for getting out information. They're useful for getting information. You're useless for getting
information.
Right.
Yeah.
I do love how every so often I just have to restart the app because he pulled it up.
Oh, okay.
I have to restart the app because it just stops refreshing groups.
Sure. Because why not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, there are times where I have one person that has an event that they posted, and every single time I load up Facebook, theirs is the first, mm-hmm. no matter how many times I refresh it. So somebody had asked, basically, do you know why the secondary market is still nosediving this far out from the mystery box fiasco?
The mystery boxes were a fiasco?
Yeah, I don't really feel it is a fiasco.
I have heard almost nothing negative about the mystery boxes.
Yeah. I mean, I think, so the War Machine secondary market right now is a buyer's market. It is not a seller's market.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah. I think that is less to deal with the mystery boxes or anything like that, and just the game is kind of still in a somewhat transitioning state.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the game has been out long enough that a lot of the first-gen players at this point are just to that stage in life where they're moving on to other things.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have a bunch of stuff coming out from that. And then also people are getting used to the new reality of CID and things changing and a new faction every year and... Some people are still dealing with that.
Do you think that the existence of CID screws with the ability for new players to start the game?
No.
Yeah. I think it is a barrier of entry.
That's what I mean.
Because if you have a new player who picks up his army and starts playing it, a new player is generally not going to be aware of CID.
But then why? But then how does that stop? How does that affect new players? Because
I don't think CID is directly causing problems for the new players. I think the attitude and mentality that is growing in the community because of CID is more of a barrier.
Yeah.
Because people are starting to get to the point where they, instead of trying to solve for a problem, they're just going to whine and scream and kick like a toddler until PP does something. And that mentality is becoming toxic.
Yeah.
The only thing I really wish, the problem, I think Dan and I, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, with CID, it seems to only cater the people who it's affecting. So we put out a circle CID, so most of the people that are participating in that are going to be circle players.
Or have a vendetta against circle.
Or have a vendetta against. And so I feel that the feedback sometimes for these are probably a little skewed, a little flawed than what you would expect from like a full-on playtest force, the ones that are supposed to be, you know, open-minded and level-headed about everything.
I have talked to game designers who have run open playtests in the past, and several of them have basically said the feedback they get is garbage, but the PR they get is worth having to sift through the garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, the two big barriers of entry I can think of for starting a miniatures game are, one, going to be the effort it takes to build enough skill to not be demoralized when you're playing it. Mm-hmm. And that has long been an issue with War Machine.
Yeah.
Because for better or for worse, War Machine is a more tactically focused, less throw a bucket of dice and cross your fingers miniature game than some of the more popular traditional ones. Like Warhammer.
I can't think of another mini game where you can lose in one move.
Right. I mean, it's
an investment as well, too.
Yeah.
And so, like, a new player playing 40K, they can buy their bucket full of Necrons, they can push them forward, they can roll bathtubs full of dice, and shit'll happen, and that's fine, and it's random.
They may still lose, but they still are invested in the game because no one knows what the fuck's going to happen until turn five.
And even if they lose, they feel like they did stuff, and sometimes their bucket of dice will win for them, and sometimes it won't, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas War Machine, because it's so tight and so brutal, you can get that game beaten out of you real fast. So that's always been an issue. And now with CID, you also have the uncertainty of knowing what your stuff does and then seeing the attitude of the veterans around you discuss how this is and how, well, don't buy that stuff. It's probably just going to be garbage when they adjust it with the next CID anyway. And it feels very newbie unfriendly.
Well, I mean, that's going to be something, you know, something self-limiting just because that War Machine is and always has been targeted towards a hardcore
tactical. At some point,
I'll stop saying tactical. But yeah, it has always been targeted at an audience that is very in tune with the tactical and strategic elements of the game. And as a result of that, it has a very high learning curve. And the core audience for the game is not necessarily something that a group of people that is all necessarily the type of people that new players want to play.
The issue is then, does War Machine become that miniatures game that's based upon 1 6-month stretch of the Boer War that only 5 70-year-old men on the planet play?
Oh God, I play a historical.
Right? Like, is that where it goes? Like, you need incompetent 12-year-olds to start playing your game.
Mm-hmm.
And
if
your game never has incompetent 12-year-olds playing your game, then 6 years from now it doesn't have competent 18-year-olds playing your game.
Yeah, I mean, also,
and the company won't invest money into it anymore
because
it turns out we already own everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's the core problem. I mean, some of the other, I mean, like video games that have similar mechanics have enough players that they have matchmaking. And so you have the incompetent 12-year-olds play other incompetent 12-year-olds. But in something that is so constrained by locality and has a much higher barrier of entry.
And just takes 2 to 2.5 hours per game to play as opposed to a 15-20-minute match.
Yeah.
You know, I'll lose terribly in StarCraft 4 times during a single War Machine game.
Yeah. It becomes a lot more
maybe
difficult to have that.
War Machine game is because you're playing StarCraft at the same time.
You have to play War Machine to lose at War Machine.
Fair.
Yeah. I haven't played since Adepticon. Yeah.
I think one of us plays War Machine currently.
Yeah, I think Dave right now.
Yeah. I haven't played in 2 weeks because I've been too busy. So this may be the longest gap for anyone in Crippled System from playing.
Both the people that I've run Monpok demos for at War Machine Night said the game was really, really fun.
But they still haven't come and played on Monpok Night.
When is Monpok Night?
Yeah, it's Tuesdays. It's Kaiju's Days.
Kaiju's Days.
Yeah, Kaiju's Days. Come down on a Tuesday and I'll demo Monpok for you. And then if you like it, come down on another Tuesday and I'll just loan you enough models to play.
I'll probably come by at some point, but it's often going to be late on Tuesdays for me to come out.
That's fine. Yeah.
The game is only like about hour and a half.
The death clock for single monster game is half hour each. For double monster game, it's 45 minutes each.
Yeah.
So it's a shorter game.
Yeah, I don't think it's the secondary market. I mean, basically Mark III has always been kind of, a buyer's market.
Well, I mean, part of that too is just army composition between Mark II and Mark III has changed so much that it's hard to sell miniatures right now. It just flat is. Just because a Mark II army will not sell in Mark III for anything less than more than wholesale price because it's just not built right.
Yeah.
Unless you were, so you have to either be able to sell a whole faction at once, or just have to accept that you're getting wholesale prices because people are going to need to split it up or are just going to be buying, you know, it's just a different game.
Yeah.
And if you just bought your two lists in Mark II and played those and never made any changes, they're probably garbage now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim says the flavor of the monthism is a huge turnoff, and yeah, that is something that that bugs a lot of people. I think it's less. I mean, I think in terms of how it affects the game itself, which I should say is different from how it affects the perception of the game, that it's less of a big deal. Because from my perspective, there have been two real cases where the flavor of the monthism was a problem. And that is basically the convergence of stuff that makes the Protectorate too good and the convergence of the stuff that makes Circle too good right now. And if you take those out of the game, there's not all that much in terms of flavor of the month.
What about convergence makes Protectorate so good?
The convergence of things. Small
it's Cirrus. It's pronounced Cirrus, not things.
See, convergence.
They're the same size as the other models. I mean, I guess the reductors and the eliminators are...
Yeah.
We don't talk about that plastic.
No. Although the convergence small infantry is proof that battle heels are the height of evolutionary competence.
Yeah, I mean, those ankles don't break. Yeah. I'm like a Steamforge resin.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that they designed their new bodies with battle heels shows that Sorsha isn't just a misogynistic depiction of femininity in battle. It is optimal foot shape.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think there's one. I mean, the
and I think they do okay against Protectorate.
Yeah, the issue with the issue with the flavor of month out. If you can look beside and just ignore and pretend that the Protectorate CID didn't happen and the Circle CID didn't happen. Outside of that, for the most part, it was cases where you had the CID, stuff goes through CID, and the stuff that comes out is now competitive at the highest levels of the game, but it is not overwhelming. From my perspective, that all changed with the Protectorate, because all of a sudden there were a couple of new Protectorate builds that everybody had to be concerned about, because it was just a style of play that wasn't really seen before, and it was overwhelmingly good. And but the same thing happened with Circle again.
Even ignoring that, what percentage of the time is a CID going on?
About
50-50.
Which means 50% of the time that this new player is coming down to just play the game they're trying to learn, mm-hmm. all of the veterans instead are proxying things and discussing Theory Machine instead of just playing a damn game.
And we have been guilty about that in town sometimes,
yeah.
too.
Right? Like, they show up really like, oh, I bought this Krix army I want to play, and then it's just us huddled around a table talking about the new Archons.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, someone did bring up once how with the old style anthology books, there was the same amount of change in a year, same amount of new models as there are now. But it was we got that in like 2 1-week windows where everyone would freak out and then we'd all move on with our lives.
I mean, honestly,
now we get that drip fed every 3 weeks.
Yeah, honestly, I preferred the old system, because in the old system it meant that so you cycled between Hordes and War Machine books, and that meant that every cycle of two books, everybody got something.
Rules-wise, at least. Obviously, release dates weren't always a thing.
Yeah.
Rules-wise, excitement, theory crafting, all of that, everybody got stuff at the same time.
And I'm down on the anthology books because I got screwed by the Revelator and the Indictor.
Yeah.
But that was the exception, not the norm.
Indictor.
Correct.
Indictor. Indictor is an English word.
That's no, Indictor, no, no, I barely even knew her.
Not the Indictor, the Inflictor.
The Inflictor, okay,
the Inflictor
yes.
also the Inflictor. Took 2 years to come out.
Inflictor?
The Inflictor, I think, had the longest gap of any of them.
I don't remember if it was the Revelator or the Indictor, but one of them went a full 2 years between the Revelator and the Jack.
What about Bombardiers and Destors?
I don't think they made it 2 years. Yeah. And at least in the Destors case, it was because someone dropped the mold and they had to start over.
Oh.
Oops.
I mean, this is more of a, I think the CID focusing, this is just that we're assholes is the problem.
Sure. Well, it's just the way it is. Like,
part of the problem is War Machine caters to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of barriers of entry to new players in miniatures games in general and in War Machine in specific.
Yeah.
And so if there is a secondary market glut of supply versus demand, that's the issue.
I mean, I think also the other thing is that War Machine is that how many people do we know that War Machine was their first miniatures game? Is that this is sort of that we almost exclusively seem to require a gateway drug to get there.
Yeah, I mean, because nobody starts with War Machine.
I think I know one person in our group that War Machine was their first miniature game.
Yeah. Also, a less bashy War Machine explanation. And they played Magic, actually, so. There's also a positive thing that can cause that glut of models, which is and this kind of ties in with the flavor of the monothism, but on a larger scale, is faction hopping is also a thing. You can have a stagnant player base and still have a glut in the secondary market if everybody just switches factions every once in a while, because then they dump their old shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think
all
most of
Madison
of us know.
Got all their merc models from me, right? They didn't have to buy anything from.
Yes, we did, because you said I want to not play mercs anymore, and I immediately made that a reality by buying your Nissen Boomhauers.
Yep,
I think pretty much most of my a big chunk of my cricks is all from you.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we all know the person in the game group too that goes out and just, you know, like, I'm going to buy all of this army, and then I'm going to sell that army at half cost, and then I'm going to buy another army.
Yeah.
I mean,
not all of them are Brimmer.
Yeah, that's I was just about to say.
No, but the difference is Brimmer somehow, like, sold one of his children's souls or something like that, and always made money on every deal.
Yeah.
But I have played five different factions, and the three that I dumped, I owned full FA of everything that had an FA. And the things that didn't have FA, I owned two or three. And that's full units / heavies and lights, wards, backspeeds. Like, I owned a fuckload of every single one of those, and that's all going to flood the market. And I'm not unique. And there are people worse than that.
Well, I'm currently paring stuff down, not necessarily because I want to get out of this game. I'm just cleaning because I'm going to be moving sometime in the next year, and I don't need to own eight factions anymore because I only ever play two of them. So, you know, there's people like me who are just downsizing collections because I'm sick of watching models collect dust.
And I mean, the move from the anthology system to the every release cycle is focused on one faction also means that factions that aren't expected to get any attention for a long time, people are going to have more motivation to unload.
Yeah, it's almost like a cycle that we have seen before. Yeah.
People, that works on both sides too, because you have more of a motivation to unload it, and people have less of a motivation to buy it if the faction's not going to be touched for a while. I mean, I saw the same thing happen in 40K, because 40K's codex system meant that. I mean, it was like that. There were a couple of factions that in 40K that did not get a codex in the entirety of an edition.
Dark Eldar went from the beginning of 3rd edition to halfway through 5th edition.
Yes.
And then fantasy, you get Bretts.
Bretonians.
Yeah, Bretts were worse.
6th to 8th, I think.
Yeah, they missed entire editions.
Did they have a 6th edition book?
Yeah. That was what the rule set was based off of.
If we really want to get deep cut, I mean, Chaos Dwarf went from Storm of Chaos to, I think they just got released like last week.
They weren't in Storm of Chaos.
Or was it one of the Ravening Hordes? It was the one before that.
Yep, it was the supplement book to the 6th edition release. Yeah. It's like, here's some random things that
and
you can maybe build an army.
And other than the Chaos Dwarf model on the Hellcannon, I think Chaos Dwarf's first true release from GW since the beginning of 6th edition fantasy, which was, what, 2004?
It was 6th edition fantasy, but they had...
The 6th edition fantasy, was that, what, 2004 or something like that?
6th edition, I think it was before that.
But,
I think it
was, like, was literally, like, in 2019.
Because, I mean, I think
the Hellcannon was 2007.
Yeah,
that was like older than that.
They at least re-released in 2007.
If they re-released it, because I believe the Hellcannon came out in the previous millennium.
The first one. I think they released one in the late 2000s, but then yes.
My mom and my wife are listening.
Okay.
I just got alerted that my mom and my wife are listening.
Uh-oh.
Hello. Aren't moms the best? We all love our wives.
Yep. So Nathan,
bye.
We are going to start the bidding at $20?
For my mom and my wife?
No, to not steer the conversation towards trigger topics.
Nope. I'm strong. I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't need no man. I don't need to rant. Fun fact about my mother's mother-in-law. Did you know that toilet paper comes in pink and also apparently quarter ply?
What's quarter ply?
It's like you pull the roll and it spins and you can tell that there's matter between your fingers, but somehow it's like less than molecular thin. and you're supposed to wipe your butt with that. I've never understood the existence of even one ply toilet.
Hold on.
I don't want to stink finger myself.
So what you're telling me is this is just chafing the roll.
Yeah. It is like decorative crepe paper, but shaped like toilet paper.
It always says pink, so it's, you know, when
everything of that
when it wraps around all your hairs and that.
Oh.
Sorry, Dad.
I've never understood, like, of all the things, like, paper towels, sure, I guess my hand just gets wet when I'm trying to clean the counter, but man alive, I do not want to touch what toilet paper's taken care of. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I was gonna go into like how I wipe, but I don't know if I should.
Well, I mean, everybody takes
next
like,
time on Crippled
no,
System.
No,
everybody takes an extra, and then you like fold it either, you know, whatever, and you make your layers, okay? Because even two ply,
wait,
you
hold
don't
on,
trust.
Hold on. This is bathroom endgame spoilers.
Sure.
So.
Well, I'm not explaining how Thanos wiped his butt, which was a weird scene that they put into Endgame. I didn't think we needed that
well, with
specific.
The gauntlet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. He snaps and half the poop disappears, yeah. And then he has to take care of the other half
so
manually.
If you snap, eventually the limit will approach zero.
Well, mathematically, you'll never get rid of all the poop.
Sure, but the limit.
Yeah. It's like that stuff that's bullshit. With the dilution. God damn it, I was just talking to
is
my...
Is Thanos Paradox?
No, what? No, not that. That was the guy from Civil War was Baron Zemo. You're talking about the wrong movie. What's the bullshit drugs? You know, you take, like, some goddamn flower and you dilute it in the Atlantic Ocean and then it cures herpes. Yes, homeopathy.
Okay.
So it's like the homeopathy version of wiping your butt. Homeopathy says the more you dilute a drug, the stronger it gets. So if you get... Yeah, it's not based on science from the last 300 years.
This is why we need a handheld camera, because we need a shot of Andrew's face right now.
It's not even a placebo. I mean, they are placebos, but it's a specific placebo where they say you dilute it, it gets stronger.
Correct. And it's a placebo when you actively do it wrong.
Yes. Yeah. But the math is something like to get a single molecule of these drugs, you'd have to drink an Olympic-sized swimming pool of the liquids to get one molecule of the active ingredient that's been diluted.
Well, that's like one of the dosages. There are like dosages that it's like yeah there will be a few molecules per liter.
I see
molecules.
I see where that could possibly be something. I was like, you know, if I want to make Kool-Aid for the entire city, I could just take a swimming pool and I could put one packet in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Kool-Aid for everyone.
Well, yeah. What is you make Kool-Aid in the normal, like, 2-quart thing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you put it in those 2 quarts into 20 quarts,
yeah.
And they'll all be equally as strong as the original Kool-Aid. In fact, they'll be stronger.
And so you keep
doing it, and eventually you get the most powerful Kool-Aid possible because you took that whole packet and diluted it in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah,
that sounds like a Mr. Wizard experiment gone wrong.
Yeah.
That sounds like as the child is making his Kool-Aid and going, this is going to be great. We're going to have Kool-Aid for everybody. Mr. Wizard walks in and says, what the fuck are you doing?
What it really is those guys on the back of a caravan in the Old West saying, step right up and drink this shit that I dumped a bunch of cocaine into. I swear it'll cure your blindness.
I mean, that stuff probably
was
pure
snake
oil.
It probably was, because at least it actually had cocaine in it.
Yeah. Oh, it's also like the Sparks energy drink things that you know, like, oh, it gives you energy. Oh, look, the main ingredient is caffeine.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm just trying to figure out if you dump a 2-liter of Kool-Aid into a pool, will it trigger the pee warning stuff?
Sure.
Well, that's a myth.
Have you tested it?
Yes.
Okay. No, maybe just your pool didn't use
it.
Okay. And maybe it exists. Oh. Your pool didn't have it.
I'm proud on how much we're making Jim's brain hurt right
my
now.
My ool had a pee in it.
The other example I saw when explaining homeopathy to Raylene, because she didn't believe that I was explaining it correctly, was one of the most popular ones, which is just this. They take a chemical that's in duck liver and just dilute it. The extent they diluted it to was such that the number of known molecules in the universe made it so you wouldn't have a 0.1% chance of getting any of the active ingredient at that level.
So it's like duck liver juice, and you're like, oh, no, it's
I mean, at this point, it's essence of duck liver.
Yes. Yeah.
Because water has a memory of it, which then
all water knows.
Then you have to explain why tap water doesn't cure everything.
Well, no. I mean, it does.
It's simple.
The fluoride.
Yes.
The fluoride kills it off. Is that where you were going? Yep. Yeah, sorry.
And this is how we get measles parties.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, measles isn't that bad. You know that because of the Brady Bunch episode. And that's the height of scientific research is an episode of the Brady Bunch.
I want to hate you with a chair right now.
It's legit a thing that people who are anti-vax bring forward is that one episode of the Brady Bunch where
they
all get measles.
That was so retarded, I want to hurt you for saying it.
Yes.
I don't watch the Brady Bunch.
There's an episode
much,
of Brady Bunch where all the kids get the measles, and they're like, gee, if you're going to be sick from school, measles is the best. You just get to relax and watch TV. You don't have to have any shots. Hooray, and measles.
And all of them survived.
Roll credits.
Yes. Yeah. Horrendous fever.
Nope,
and
nope.
It's all good.
Nope.
It's all good.
It was all fine.
I'm trying to remember. How many Brady Bunch kids were there?
Six.
I mean, yeah, statistically. Well,
there were seven.
Before that episode.
Yeah, I was say, statistically, one of them should have probably had some sort of complication from that. If six had it at the same time.
Yeah. No, they're like, that's the best.
Yeah. Well, maybe they just had new kids, and then all the rest of the kids were in shallow graves in the back.
Yep.
In the backyard, where Jan got hit in the Marcia in the face with the football.
No, Jan got hit with the football.
Was it Jan?
I think.
No.
Your eye is Marcia, because she was the pretty one.
Yeah.
And then she had a broken nose, so she wasn't pretty anymore, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
No, the anti-vaxxers are amazing. I just love how now they're saying that polio, that vaccines didn't really cure polio. We just call it different things now.
What?
Yeah.
But they won't admit the same thing about autism. Yeah. See, there is more autism. It isn't just that we identify it differently, but there isn't less polio because we do just identify it differently.
Which stuffed animal can I hurt? Otherwise,
I would have the cat bug down here, but I forgot to bring him down.
Otherwise, I'll just grab the toilet paper.
That's fine. You could abuse the toilet paper.
There's an owlbear.
No, that one's too cute.
Would you say that that's... what ply would you say that is?
Now or after I'm done with it.
See, this is about where I want my toilet paper to be. Is that thick?
You just want it to be like a full-on cloth?
I don't want to touch my poop.
Jesus Christ, that's a Leatherman.
I mean, at that point, just buy baby wipes.
Holy shit, Nathan.
Yeah.
That's like a brass-knuckle Leatherman.
Yeah.
Does it have a microwave?
No. The thing I am annoyed it doesn't have is that it doesn't have a measurement system on the side like my previous Leatherman had.
That is an impressively good... No.
Jim says that's an argument that's
circumcised or toothless.
Yeah, Jim says that's an argument that's been made for more than polio. And anti-vaxxers are nuts.
Man, should we record a separate episode about anti-vaxxing?
To any of our anti-vaxxer listeners,
fuck off.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really bothering to me that, you know, we have kids that are sick and who cannot get said vaccines.
Yep. Yeah.
And are being put in danger because of fucking idiots.
I'd be less upset if you beat your children, because at least then you're only endangering your own child's life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anti-vaxxers are child abusers who also abuse other people's children.
Anti-vaxxers
not
are
even by proxy, just straight up.
Anti-vaxxers are a dangerous cult that practices child sacrifice.
Yes,
they just don't know when and where.
Yeah,
it's stochastic child sacrifice.
Tactical.
Oh my god, that's almost a good podcast episode too.
Yeah,
I mean, just put in the show notes.
It's tactical discussion. We can promise that we actually have tactical discussion in this show.
You're not going to label that part the one where Dave has a stroke.
Yeah. Wait, you haven't had strokes in previous episodes? Maybe I was just being generous.
And so that's why the secondary market is falling out for War Machine.
Yeah. Dave had a stroke.
I don't know if we had any other Zappity Grumbles. Oh, we did have something on Twitter, too.
Jim, we still need a Zappy Grumble for this episode.
No, he had one right there.
He said technically that's for the next episode.
No, he had one for this episode.
Oh, he did?
Zappity, what is a faction or model type that you would downsize from War Machine and Hordes as a whole?
Oh,
just to remove the whole faction?
Or something.
Well, he said downsize. So, like, if there's a faction that you thought was warping the meta too much, or if there's a model type that you think could be getting rid of or reduced in prevalence.
Battle engines.
The concept of mercenaries, the way that they're implemented, as opposed to...
Expound.
I actually think the mercenary system, as it was originally designed, is problematic from a balance perspective, as opposed to having them be self-contained factions.
I don't know. I think with the way it works now, there's a big problem.
They're getting much better. The way it was at the end of Mark II was problematic.
The fact that half of the factions had an Ocean's 11 list that was unnecessarily good, and that especially like Signar in Mark II was half mercs.
So do you need to have the list building category restriction like 40K and whatnot had, where 50% X, 30% Y, 20%? And so on, and so only like 20% of your list can be merc models.
I think the current game, which I will say, okay, you can only play War Machine in themes, where it's just basically set up so that you can have one merc unit and one merc model, and just effectively the merc model means you get to pick one from a list of really strong support models.
Sure, I think that's okay. I think the floating models from another faction only works when that list is only so big. But for a while, that list was too big, and you could take too many of them.
Yeah,
and that was problematic. I will agree that Mark III is handling that much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Merc Inclusion 1 solo works fine. The Merc Inclusion 1 unit has serious design problems because of the well, let's call it core units to a theme that you need to have X points of to qualify for Y free cards. That this creates a huge disadvantage for Merc units, and so there are only a handful of cases where you have ever take a merc unit, but at the same time most lists have the merc solo because of the options of support. I think that works fine.
The issue is also you have to balance mercs. You can't really balance them as a faction. You have to balance them with everybody who can take them as a choice.
Yeah, which sucks for mercs players, because you have to deal with the fact of, oh, you can take Ragman and Alexia and Ayana and Holt and all of these models that are balanced to be support models for everyone else, but mercs can take all of them, and we have to figure out a way to balance them, which means their battle groups tend to suck.
Yeah, that's fine. To kind of draw a parallel to that, Guild Ball is having the same exact issue right now. Is they have a mercenary faction, and they are in the process of eliminating them from everybody else. And right now, that the Union players are having hard times fighting all the other guilds right now is because their faction is just so their guild is so made to take on, be included with everybody else, is that they don't have their own internal synergies.
Yeah. Not a real faction.
Yep.
They're kind of, now.
Like, it's one of those things where I don't think mercs were bad, but I think if PP could start over, I don't know if they would make that same design decision that they made.
I will also say, just building on one thing that you said about the support models being, or whatever, the phrase of having to worry about all the things you can take with them messing with balance, the other model type that in theory would improve the game if it was downsized, but it would be a massive riot if you did so, would be get rid of half the Warcasters and Warlocks.
No.
How much easier is design for the game if you don't have to worry about 30 different Signar casters with every Signar model you make?
Who's the boss? So much easier.
Well, I say, what's the number at right now? Like 215?
Yeah, about 215.
So like each faction has, you know, well, I mean, 20 some?
Just honestly, just get rid of the previous versions of them. Sticking with the modern day storyline. You know, we adapt, you know, all Asphyxius 1 was, he was a really cool guy, but now we're just dealing with...
He was a really cool guy 20 years ago.
Yeah, now we're dealing with Asphyxius 3. Mm. And just, you know, just keep it with the timeline. And that way, if you decide to play previous timelines, then you could play with previous timelines. Then you don't have to have, like, Siege 2 and Asphyxius 1.
But, like, in sanctioned tournament rules, like, the game could be balanced for the existing models.
Sure, I mean, you basically Magic set it at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is... probably the only truly proven way of keeping game bloat down at this point.
Yeah.
Considering that game is 30 years old, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. But that's theoretically what Champions is supposed to do, except Champions is a hot pile of garbage because it has Iona Devourer's Host in it.
No, it's flawed because at the end of the day, it has the same problem as almost every other privateer thing, where they have a design team of three who has to keep on putting out stuff to make them money to pay so that they can eat.
Yeah,
in Seattle.
Yeah, Jim says downsize. Jim says downsize not remove. And I mean,
we've only been speaking downsize. When I first was explaining it, I said review. Mm-hmm. Remove, but that's not me.
It's not a class of models, but I think the theme system could seriously stand for a rework.
We got to wrap up, so we should jump to recommendations quick.
All right.
All right. I don't know.
Watch Endgame.
Well, I mean, why bother recommending that? Like, yeah, why bother?
Sure.
Like, you've either seen it or you have made a decision not to see it.
Yeah, like, yeah. What I say now has no effect on that.
Very true.
Okay, well, then I will recommend the Flix Brew House, which I went to for the first time to see Endgame, and it was pretty cool.
Cool. Nathan and I are going to go there 14th of May.
For what, Detective Pikachu?
No, oh. But that would be a good choice, too. Yeah. No, to go see Big Trouble in China.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a good Brew House. I've seen them around.
So what's their shtick?
Is it beer?
It's a movie theater restaurant,
which is less of a deal now that every theater is like that.
Yeah,
sure. Like you can like the Marcus theaters are Brew and Views now.
Yeah,
sure. Palace I think is like that, but is Point that way? Point, too?
Yeah. Man, I've gotten Long Island's and taken them into the theater with me at Point. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm they're also like an actual like a waiter will come by and you can order food from them.
Some of the theaters do that. Some, okay. Within the or some of the screens within the same theater it, and some don't.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think.
Do you have anything?
Not really.
Nothing. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to end this podcast and then we're going to start a new one in a few minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Are you?
Sure.
You think we're too much or what?
No. Well, no. We're done with this episode for sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're done. All right. Thanks for watching, guys.
Grumble. Bye.